Good morning and welcome to Neocon View. I'm Peter Newman, and our guest this morning is Kathleen Ryan, who makes her living and her life as an artist here in the north part of Sonoma County. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning, listening audience.
And I have to start with the whole question of art, because you engage in so many media that I'm not even quite sure where to begin. Can you just kind of list out all the various things that lay hands on?
Yeah, I think it probably happens to a lot of us, and I just acted on it. A midlife crisis when I realized I always wanted to be an artist, darn it. I'm going to just do it. I've always been creative, but there's a time that comes where you want to put the discipline to that and hone in, and that might explain why I have done a number of things in finding out which avenue pleases me most and which one I can actually work with.
So what you're saying is, before this period, you sort of had all this creativity bottled up and you didn't know what to do with it?
Well, I did. I used to belong to a very progressive Catholic church in Portland, and we had liturgical extravaganzas, lots of color, lots of music, dancing. You know, it was the age when the Pope lifted the lid off the church and let us play. And so we had a lot of really fun things, and we did a lot of multimedia events. And in fact, I was a photographer, so took many, many slides, and we used those in the liturgical presentations by presenting them on a large screen. We did a lot of stuff before, unfortunately, technology made it so easy.
Yeah, that is one thing about, say, digital photography is you can now do so much, but it does take a little bit of the creative part of it.
It does.
I mean, because you can shoot so many pictures, and one of them might be okay, and so the editing process inside your head goes away.
I think so. I think that people get a little bit lazy because they can just snap, 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 and if you're using film, and especially if you develop it yourself, which I did, you learn that I need to see this a little more clearly. And maybe that helped with making some decisions about where I wanted to go with art.
Okay, well, we've nailed down one discipline, and that's photography. Mm-hmm. Want to move on to some others that you've done over the years?
Well, let's start with the barn.
Yes.
This purchased 12 years ago, approximately 12 years ago, and my husband wanted to buy this old farm. It was derelict, blackberry bushes climbing up over the decks. Barn was full of garbage and old cars. And I said, why on earth do you want to buy that? He says, I don't know. I just feel the need. And I'd never thought of him as a real spiritual person. So I said, that's good enough reason for me. So we bought it. So the barn gave me this great opportunity to salvage found wood and driftwood. What else? All manner of fun things to build with. I started with sculptures, little totems, and then I went into making mantles for homes around here out of some of the driftwood that I found. And it's amazing what this wood turns into if you don't just go throw it in your yard, but in fact, sand it, take good care of it, and see what's there. You know, look inside the wood, see what you find. I know I have pulled pieces from the bay that are from ancient old trees. They're probably scraps that are hundreds, if not thousands of years old. And those are hard as rocks and have their own beautiful color because of the minerals that I think the salts have dissolved and changed in them.
Now, I'm not an artist. I like to think of myself as somebody who appreciates art, but I couldn't draw a straight line with a ruler, nor should we all be drawing straight lines anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that photography is exactly the opposite of how you describe wood, and that the photography, you've got the whole world out there, and you take the viewfinder, and you define your shot. Whereas wood, the definition is in the object, and then you work with it. Is that a fair way to look at the difference between those two?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly you have to, Photography, in a sense, is immediate, especially now. But even watching the image come up in the darkroom, it was such a thrill for me because it was always magic. But indeed, it happened. Bingo. And you don't take that much time deliberating how the image is going to look. except for, of course, the patience to deal with the light, which is really what all photography is capturing light.
So with wood, by contrast, the object presents itself to you
in all of its muddledness, colors, whatever. Yeah, and then you have to really look at it. And it's three-dimensional. Remember, the final image in photography is always two-dimensional. It can't ever be three-dimensional. You reduce it to two dimensions. And so, yeah, with sculpture, with the wood, you can get back to that three-dimensionality, which adds more elements, and I like that.
We are going to mention the show that you have, which is on 53, yes, at the barn.
At the barn, at this famous old barn on Highway 53. It's about 6 miles north of Nehalem. And unfortunately, this year, Highway 53 is closed at the upper end near Highway 26. So you just about have to come down to Nehalem or Wheeler and go north on 53. And it's definitely worth the drive. All of the artists, let's see, we have 32 of them this year. They are all asked to push themselves beyond their normal comfort level so that we can truly have what I call art furniture and garden pieces that are on totally over the edge, but not goofy art. I have come to the point where I do invite my artists because I know their work is top drawer. So it's worth it. Come on out, have a good time. But I want to get back to the barn. And Why in the world I have a gallery in a barn?
I see no reason why not.
Well, I've often wondered why we don't use some of these marvelous old structures for something else, because there are quite a few farms that no longer grow cows. And so what can we do with these barns? That's what we're doing with them.
Like, I think barns themselves are very evocative.
They are.
I mean, because there's, by definition, a history in the building.
And an industry about them.
Right.
They're hardworking buildings.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, when I was lamenting that I had no place to show the stuff that I was doing, I certainly was making it in the barn. I have a wood shop. And she said, well, Kathleen, why don't you just have your own show? You've got a place, you've got a barn. You can have as much as you want in there. And I realized she was right. So the hard part that first time was cleaning it up so that it actually looked like a gallery. And in fact, it does. The lighting, it's fabulous. And then, so we had our first show there 8 years ago. This will be our 8th annual. And it's just from then it became even more magic. And what happens is for 9 days we have this show, and then we close it all down and turn it back to the artists who use it as their workshop. And there is a gentleman there who makes skin-on-frame kayaks, and he often fills the entire middle section. And so it just becomes a working barn again.
And I think that probably lends a sort of spirit to the place, that when we go in to see it as a place to see art, that it's actually a workspace as well.
Yes. Yeah, we push some things aside, and you can see them out of the corner of your eye where somebody has been working on something. But for the most part, if you walk into that barn, you would not believe that you are in an old dairy barn, because the outside looks as derelict as you would expect an old barn to look like.
Our guest this morning on Neocony View is Kathleen Ryan, artist in residence in the north part of Tillamook County. This area, not just, I'm talking about the north coast of Oregon, but specifically right around the north part of Tillamook County, there are an awful lot of people who do art. Is there something in the water here?
Well, I think it's the coast, and I think that it might apply to the whole coast,
Especially
where there isn't any other large industry. Certainly Manzanita doesn't have any industry. Nehalem itself really doesn't. It has services. I mean, any decent town has a hardware store. And Manzanita and Nehalem do. But I really think it's the ocean. I do believe that when we all come over here, for whatever our weird reasons, that our heartbeat sort of calms down and goes with the flow of the ocean waves, because we all hear the same thing. And I think it slows us down, makes us more mellow, and in a lot of ways more productive in terms of our inner space, you know, and that's what artists do. They use their inner head to manifest whatever material they're using, and I think it's that. I think it's the waves. It is the water, and that's why you call your contractor. You can't reach him or her because the surf's up. Yeah.
Yeah.
The waves rule our life.
We know that. Well, okay, this the show that you are doing, you say there are 28 artists?
Well, we have 32 artists this year, and I do want to correct one little thing, and that is that, in fact, this barn is just over the Tillamook County Clatsop line. We
oh,
are
really?
Technically in Clatsop County. However, I have a dear friend here who is part of our Tillamook County Arts Network, which is a countywide arts network, and in fact, go to the website, www.tillamookcountyarts.org, and you will find everything you need to know about what's happening in Tillamook County, in the arts, culture.
It's a great site.
It is a great site, but but it's funny. She did say at one point to me, you know, the best show in Tillamook County is in Clatsop County.
Well, that is, you know, you go along that road and all of a sudden you see the sign that says, depending on which direction you're going, you're in another
That's
county.
Right.
And how did that happen? How did they draw that line?
It's a stream, actually. Well,
oh.
it is actually a line, a grid line, because if you do a little research on the meridians that were set up in the West, they're all big squares. And so most county lines follow these lines.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 32 artists, and you said you're looking for serious people who will push the boundaries.
Yes, I want. Well, we're a long ways from many towns. I really want it to be worth people's time to come out.
How do you choose? I mean, there is that a very subjective thing on your part? Is there a committee, or is it
no,
committee of one?
It's a committee. It's a committee of one, and occasionally. I will bend the rules because of some particular person whose work is showing promise and they're working hard, and I just say, oh, sure, come on, put your stuff in. Also, I do invite any of the other artists who have studio space in my barn, I do invite them to put something in if they would like to, because they're part of the Green Arts Collective, which is the name of the business out there, and that's kind of our... We all work in some form with recycled materials. I know we used Green Arts 12 years ago before it was hot. Now everything's green.
It's a great name, though. Whenever you came up with it. Is there a process of, I don't know how to put the term I should use, joint mentoring, that when you get artists, more than one artist in a space, that you sort of feed off each other's creativity? Does that happen, or is it more a solitary thing?
It's still more a solitary event. We all have other lives, and when there's an opportunity to get out there and really work, we tend to leave each other alone because we know how sacred that time is. And occasionally, well, we are all there to help each other. I've often said to Brian, the kayak maker, I'm really struggling with this. Do you happen to know where I might find a tool? He'll not only say I've got the tool, but he'll stop what he's doing and he'll do it for me, because telling me how to use the tool takes more time than him taking 10 minutes from his work to do mine. And I will do the same for him. I will often come up with a solution for a problem that he's having, and we do share a lot of the wood shop. It sounds like I said wood chop. We share the wood shop where we have a lot of equipment. Because there's no point in all of us having the same thing. Expensive at that.
That is. Mm-hmm. How about supplies? I mean, it's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere and we all have the internet we can draw on to order things, but sometimes you want something here and now and you got to have it, and this is exactly what you want, and it's not there.
In that sense, we do interact. We artists and even contractors, as you call around to somebody you know has that. It's usually a tool. It might be some esoteric piece of lumber. I did call a cabinet maker here one time to say, do you have anything? I described it. He said, yeah, come on over. I went over, went underneath the shop into the bowels of the storage area and found a piece of wood that I could use. And then he and his partner laminated it together so that I could then use it. And so there's that kind of help, and he charged me $30. Now, there's no way I could go to the lumber store, get the labor and that lumber for that price. So, but yeah, we're happy to have the lumber stores. You know, they try to carry what you want if there's enough demand. And, you know, the broken tool, when you need something right now, they'll often have enough pieces around that you can use it?
Well, we've talked about photography and talked about wood, so let's move on to another media that you like to work in. There are others.
Well, I have been working in ceramics. We have a wonderful drawing program here in our area that has been going on for about 9 years, and we meet every week. Happens to be Sundays from 10 to 1 at the Hoffman Center. We meet and draw the female figure, the male figure. It's just the figure drawing. It's one of the best ways to keep your skills alive if you're an artist. Whether you're a painter or a drawer, it's just you continue to see form, shadow, etc., etc., and you push yourself to learn more. It's felt like a college education for me to be able to do this with this group of people. And public's welcome. However, there was one time I forgot my drawing tools when I showed up, and I asked Patty, I said, gee, do you have any charcoal or paper that I could use? She says, no, why don't you use this? She was a ceramicist. She gave me a big wad of clay and said, use this. And I was challenged and said, all right. So I formed the figure with this little clump of clay and worked with it. And from then on, I thought, this is fun too. I think I want to do this as well.
Had you ever done something like that before?
No.
So there was just...
I never worked with clay. I never even did as a kid in school. You know, that's kind of unusual. Most people who come to the clay program at Hoffman Center say, I haven't done this since seventh grade. And it's so fun because they get back into it. But no, that was my first experience. So I really liked it. And now I do work with ceramics, but I like hand building. The wheel scares me. People say once you get it, it's like riding a bike. You've got it. But I haven't gotten to the point. I still fall off my bike. So I prefer hand building, and it's a lot of fun for me. And I will have some of those ceramics at this show as well.
And let's skip the dates for the show. It opened this last weekend and runs?
It runs through the 29th, and we will be finishing up at 4 o'clock. That's a Sunday, the 29th. But it's open all week long, 10 to 4 each day.
And I'm tooling up 53 from Nehalem, and how will I know whether I've got there?
Yeah, you're tooling up 53 from Nehalem, and you get to the point where you see a sign that says, Welcome to Clatsop County. And just as soon as you see that sign, there's an S-curve, so you really want to watch the road, but you will see some houses. There are two on the left side. And when you get out of that second S-curve, you look to the left, and there's a sign that says Bridge Lane. And I will have signs out so people will know where to turn with them, A-board signs. And kind of look for them along the way when you think, holy cow, this is way too far away. Keep going because we're not too far away.
Well, you've told me that in years past, people have come all the way from Portland to see
they
this.
Do come from Portland. Last year, it was way fun. The Tillamook PUD, Ruralite, they did an article about the barn and what was going on there. And it brought a lot of people from Tillamook who would just wanted to see, well, what is this all about? And it is fun. So that kind of exposure of people who are curious, you know, they'll come.
You mentioned a little while ago people who haven't played with clay, if I can use that term, since mm-hmm. they were maybe, you know, seventh grade or 11 years old or whatever. Yeah, that's sort of sad that it's almost like we're born with an artistic impulse, and by the time mm-hmm. we become adults, it gets kicked out of us, and we start becoming more linear and...
We have to be. Face it, artists don't make a lot of money. There are some who are fantastically wealthy, but the kind of workaday artist, not necessarily so. Almost everybody has a second job or is born rich, and that's nice, but we can't all have that, especially after the fact.
Is there an educational component to all this? Are you trying to scoop up younger people and try to get them interested or mentor them if they have the interest?
Well, you know, we do. I have done it. I've gotten too busy to do it, but it is still done in that our local schools, we artists try to bring a component of it to the schools. And there are a lot of people working towards that end in our area. Helen Hill was very instrumental in getting a program going years ago in the Nehalem Elementary School. So that there was a component of art every day for those kids. And then she asked if a few of us would go to the junior high school, which when it was still in the high school, go to the junior high school and give those kids a day of art. But we still only had about an hour and a half. And it was sad to realize that these kids only had that small component of art. And art, I think, I really do believe that it helps you see things in a way that builds your confidence. And it helps, I think it helps young people feel all right about expressing themselves. And sometimes art is the only way a child can express him or herself, because they don't have the facility of words that we adults have. They don't have the years of socialization that we do. And so we can learn a lot with seeing what children do with art.
Well, also, you know, when you're, let's say, a teenager, there's this need to conform and be part of a group, and art lets you express some individuality too. Mm-hmm. So even as you feel the need to wear the same clothes as your friends, at least you have an outlet there that you can express yourself, and hopefully that stays with you.
Yeah, as long as you have a teacher who encourages. If you've got a teacher who says, no, there's only one way to do it, and that's the wrong color of red, or, well, I'm sure we've all had a teacher like that who wasn't...
Sadly, yes.
Not real creative and not real patient with allowing that to happen. And that's what you have to do with art. That's why people standing staring at a piece of paper for hours. Well, it's okay. It's coming together.
Yeah, there's also a notion, I think, that that art is easy, and it really isn't easy. Even if you're just trying to dredge up an idea or Mm-mm. work it out, it's a difficult process.
It's very hard, and the most recent avenue I'm traveling is to paint, because I'm not going to be able to lift heavy mantles over my head for a whole lot longer. And so I really, truly have always wanted to paint since I was a teenager. And I'll tell you right now, it's the hardest thing I have done so far in the art world is to learn to paint. Color is a whole realm of understanding that it takes years of experience to really get. Again, another magic thing when you mix colors. How in the world does yellow and blue mix together make green? It's in various shades, too. And then when you add another color, how it changes it again, not necessarily for what you wanted. It could pollute it. And there's subtle differences with color that is certainly a starting point if you're going to be a painter, whether you use acrylics, oils, watercolors, whatever. And I'm finding that very difficult. So I'm reading, studying, and painting.
So when you're doing something like that, what do you do when you're in the process of this piece you've been working on for many, many hours, and you realize, I've made a mistake. This just is not going right. You can't just, you know, crunch it up into a little ball, throw it away, and start over. It's your baby.
Well, I recently took a workshop with Bill Park, a Portland artist, and his answer to that question is then paint over it. Paint it again. No one piece needs to be abandoned. You keep working with it. You keep, maybe you just start over and you just think of desirable shapes, and you don't think of a thing, you just think of things that feel good, shapes that feel good, and you go from there. And you mess with your materials. You take some odd thing and you smoosh it in the paint and you put it on with a piece of flotsam that you found. I've actually made mark making with ink with Scotch broom. I made brushes out of Scotch broom, and I worked with them because of the nature of their stock. They're four-sided, sort of like when you think of the nettles or the mint family, if you look at the stem, and there's a little concave, four sides that are a little concave, and they'll hold the ink, sort of like a pen delivers it, the old-fashioned kind. So there's just all kinds of ways to make marks on paper, on wood, on canvas.
That must be very satisfying, too, because probably somebody else has done that in the past, but it's not like you can go to a book and say, mm-hmm. oh, this is how I can make this image. And it's a sense of discovery.
Yes, and I think that's key, Peter, what you just said, sense of discovery. Don't let your need to have a finished piece in your brain keep you from creating a wonderful piece. Just go with your medium. Go with the flow, so to speak.
Well, I want to get back then to the aspect of wood, which I think to most of us presents itself as an object, and we see something in it, and we work with it. But mm-hmm. I imagine, at least if you're creative, which I've already said I am not in this area, with something like wood, can you end up with something quite different than you thought you were going to end up with? Or is it pretty much as it is presented to you, there it is? You kind of have an idea what the finished product is in your head before you start, or surprised.
Yeah, if you're going to do a sculpture, you do have to pay attention to the grain and where the knots are and that kind of thing, because knots are very difficult to work with if you want to change them. But you can utilize them within your piece, and so knowing the wood, knowing the grain, and that comes with reading books and also taking a few workshops, and just that's the plus of adult education. We get to choose what we learn, and so you do have to pay attention to that. But I've also seen really interesting pieces of wood that were worm-eaten, kind of gnarly and nasty, and you clean them up a little bit and then slice them in thin-walled sections and turn them into lampshades, boxes, or just mount them something with light behind them, and it actually shines through. There are some woods that if you slice them thin enough, they actually will transmit light.
That's why you do what you do and I don't, because you think of things like that. Well, one more time, Kathleen Ryan, the show which runs through the nearly the end of the month.
It is called Live With It. And that name came out of the idea of, well, okay, odd furniture, come on, live with it. You're going to love it. And so that's the theme, is live with it. Also, our theme this year is patterns, and that's just to give the artists some incentive to do something fun if they can't kickstart their own brain. And it's a wonderful show. In fact, it's very colorful. That really pleases me. And we have a furniture painter who, if you think about, it's not toll painting in any stretch of the imagination, but she does full-on paintings on this furniture that have their own depth and stories. And you can, they're just so fun.
And website, once again, for people who want to explore a little bit more.
The website, my very own, is www.neakani.net/forward. K. Ryan.
Contact us at the station and we'll pass that on. You get these addresses out and you go,
I know. Wait a minute. Say that again.
Yeah, say that again.
And
please.
Do you people know what slash forward
slash
means?
Slash forward, right. Or forward slash or whatever. And the show runs through the 29th.
The show runs through the 29th of August. It's always towards the end of August. And it gives people all the summer to get a lot of work done, we hope, because it's cold in the winter in a barn.
Kathleen Ryan, our guest this morning on the Neakani View. Thank you for joining us. It's been a great pleasure, and let's all get out there.
Yeah.
I'm Peter Newman. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll see you next month.